All right, let's go ahead and jump back into it. Last time on Herding Dragons, you are all squarely aboard the unsinkable, emphasis on unsinkable, Serenity, the cruise ship, which Vajra Blackstaff had sent you all on a congratulatory family cruise, just to kind of thank you for all the work that you've been doing as the secret magic police of this world. But, you know, once again, as Smee always does, got blackout drunk, and you had to take care of her and, you know, drag her on board. But she had one of those weird recurring alcoholic nightmares where, you know, she's an unrelenting force in a mysterious forest wooded community that seems to be assaulting, you know, the church. And, you know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's really creepy and it is recurring. But Smee woke up last time to join you in all of the cruise festivities as you are all deep out at sea. Now, there are a couple rules aboard the ship that you have all been noted of. Formal attire is required at all times. There is an anti-magic field that encompasses the ship also at all times, with the exception of two members of the crew, one being Percival, the butler genie, who is magically required to serve and pleasure you at your request, should you just say his name thrice. And the ship's wizard, off the top of my head, I forgot Reginald Stormrider is the captain, the ship's wizard, who really didn't make an appearance last time and whose name is not ringing a bell off the top of my head, also can use magic. So I digress. We move on. Also, no weapons at all aboard the ship. You've had to place your weapons either in the custody of Percival upon your intake, or you have tried to sneak them on board using various different magical avenues. But the previously mentioned anti-magic field does not allow you access to those items. So, you
all... anyone attempt to use orifices to sneak things in?
I do not believe any weapons were... there was the magical... the portable holes? But I don't think that's the orifice or the hole that you were referring to.
Gun that was broken down that I could reassemble.
Yes. Okay, yeah, I do remember. Yeah, I think you broke it down into its like core part, so it was unrecognizable. Yeah,
just kind of hid them here and there.
There are very few exceptions to the no weapons rule that you were all able to sneak by, but in large, there are no weapons aboard the ship. Any weapon that you should may need, Percival indicated that he can be your weapon. Simply just say his name three times. But again, I digress. You were all invited to dinner by Mert the Moneylender, basically getting together all of the highest rollers aboard the ship, just to kind of, you know, as rich people do, bump elbows and, you know, trade gossip and insider secrets, which, you know, you all attended. And there was a fairly large guest list with the Castellanters, Percival, obviously the butler, being there, Marcus Valerius, the lounge singer, Emily, that's her name. You learned her name is Emily, but she is Balthazar Buxby's assistant, who did show up late. There's also Vivian St. Clair, a wealthy socialite, Mert, as previously mentioned, and then Reginald Captain Stormrider. And you all got to partake in a little bit of gossip in that, turns out Balthazar Buxby's performances aboard the Serenity have been lackluster at best. However, his ironclad contract with the ship really allows him to be paid large amounts of money without really any out from the company, as long as he just postpones his show, or at least plays one show. He pretty much gets paid for the entire tour. You did have a little chat with the captain, as well as Marcus Valerius, about, you know, maybe trying to get Balthazar to retire, so that Marcus Valerius, who's been in the, you know, in the opening act for about 10 years now, could maybe step into the spotlight, and, you know, maybe the cruise line could get off of Balthazar's hefty contract. You also, once Balthazar had arrived rather late, found that he had a little, taken a liking to Amalia Castelland, and he was laying down some serious riz on her, much to the disdain of Victoro Castelland, her husband, who left early in a huff. Oh, man, what else happened? Chef Gustav presented you all with lovely magical treats and entrees, followed by a four-course meal and dessert. All just the best food that, quite frankly, you've all ever had, other than, you know, the meals prepared lovingly by Cordon Hamsay. Balthazar Buxby didn't seem to enjoy the meal and let Chef Gustav know, to which Chef Gustav ran out of the room crying because he is very sensitive about the things that he loves, and he's put a lot of time and effort and magic into his preparations, and seeing Balthazar not really give it the grace that it was due really cut him deep. Let's see, what other rumors did you hear? Oh, Balthazar offered to play Amalia Castellanter a private show pretty much at a whim's notice without any sort of issue. However, the other wealthy socialite that I mentioned earlier, Vivian Sinclair, has been trying to get Balthazar Buxby to play her a private concert for years now, to which Balthazar has always refused. Balthazar also kind of treats his assistant Emily like shit. But, you know, he's just kind of like a rock star. Most people owe Mert large sums of money, including Balthazar Buxby also owes Mert a large sum of money. All the rich people, as they do, were just passing around Weave, which is the higher end version of Arcane. You know, in our real world analogy, it would be like a crack versus cocaine analogy. And that since you were all out at sea in international waters, there were no prohibitionary laws in place whatsoever that needed to be adhered to. So the Weave was flowing. Some of you all partooketh and were able to basically see all dimensions at once as they flow through the universe, and, you know, didn't really have any sort of bad time. So you all relaxed aboard the Serenity as you made your way to the Moonshae Isles. However, upon arrival to the Isles, you were all not allowed to actually leave the ship. And according to the ship's captain, Reginald Stormrider, the port where you were all supposed to be docking, which is a high-end retreat portion of the Moonshae Isles, had actually been closed due to a overrun of local wildlife that should be remedied shortly. However, that remedied shortly turns out to be you guys, in that Robert Thornfield, the ship's security officer, requested any adventurers on board attend his office, where he all told you that the local wildlife, quote unquote, was actually ravenous dinosaurs, and the problem was that they had broken into a shipment of Weave, and they now had quote-unquote taken over the island gang style. So that's where we're gonna pick up on tonight. You are all still aboard the Serenity. You have not taken off. What would you all like to be doing? Essentially, Officer Thornfield has told you that because these dinosaurs have gotten tainted, they've used drugs, they are no longer pure of heart, mind, and soul, they will need to be exterminated. Unfortunately, there is no money in the budget for rehabilitation services for these dinosaurs. So, unfortunately, you will have to be exterminators in order to enjoy your vacation.
I received tokens or credits or chips for the casino.
Yes, sir.
I would like to use those.
Are you just going to sit on the boat and gamble?
Well, I mean, I'm going to put it all in one number.
Okay. One second. Let me...
I'm just going to, you know... You know that speech in that one movie with the old Italian guy? And he's like, or the one when Abraham Simpson like parodied it. He's like, and if you could put it all on one number, and you know, and let it ride, and you know, whatever. And I'm gonna try and like, yeah, and lose it all. I don't know, whatever. Just let me drop the dice. What do I need to do?
Okay, so there is a downtime activity of gambling, but okay. It's kind of like, it's more like a set of checks, but I kind of like the idea of just doing like the all or one. But yeah, you tell me. Well, what do you want to use the rules as?
Yeah, you know, like just like a craps table, like slow motion montage with the dice bouncing off the table with the light shining through. It's the classic red dice, you know, and mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like cheering, what? You know, and then it's working up to something, and then here's the final roll. I'm gonna throw it down.
Okay. I think what you're describing, I think, is a roulette table.
I was going for like craps, basically, like you know when they're throwing the dice and everybody's like, you know, everybody's like cheering because you're like, you know, you continue like, you know, like if you have it crapped out and you're like you're on a roll, like everybody, the year like 7 or 8 rolls in, everybody's like kind of like, oh snap, dude, because like there's money being thrown around on the table at that point, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but I don't know, I'm just, I guess, hello? Craps. Yes.
Okay. All right. So here, I got something in my mind for you. Okay. Okay. So you can put it all on one bet, but you can, okay. I'm going to let you choose one thing. It's going to be a straight D20 roll. You okay. either have, and it's no modifiers, no nothing. You either okay. roll above 13 with one dice,
uh-huh.
or you roll above an 8 with two dice, and both of those have to be above an 8.
Oh, okay. I think the 1 over 13, I don't know. I'm not really good at math, so that might be like the wrong option. But like, you know, someone, if this were a game show, someone's at home yelling at their TV right now. and I'm gonna do it anyway. One dice. I got a 13. Is 13 the mark, or did you say over 13?
No, 13. 13 was the mark. How much? Okay. How much did you bet?
Oh, I had 300.
Okay, 300. The person on the other side of the table hands you back 600 worth of credit.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna put it back down.
You gonna keep it rolling?
Like, push it right back. Yep.
Okay. Same thing. Are you gonna keep it on black, or are you gonna go red?
I rolled a 7.
As the teller uses that long little crooked cane to like grab all of your winnings and drag them across the table.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, I was very too close to the sun. Okay. I roll away from the table with my amalgamation trash shield guardian. Okay.
All right. Well, you know, just a little bit of gambling before going out to hunt some dinosaurs. What's everybody else doing?
Can Sneeko visit the chef real quick?
Oh, absolutely. You go, you know, it's many mornings later after you all have had that lovely dinner. You're pretty familiar with the ship's layout at this point. You kind of go down to the kitchens, and there's kind of like a hustle and bustle, and before you're able to actually get into the kitchen area, you're approached by what looks like kind of one of the, you know, kitchen workers. She says, hey, that's actually for staff only. Hey, can I help you though? What are you doing back here? This is kind of for staff only.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to the chef and give him my compliments face to face, because his food was so amazing, and I just wanted to, you know, tell him face to face.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. Sorry, you're actually heading into, that's the kitchen and the prep area. It's highly restrictive. Chef Gustav will be very angry if we were to allow anybody back in there. But he is actually in his office right now, trying to concoct the final meal for the trip. He hasn't, you know, for each cruise, he likes to come up with a very special, you know, pop or zazz that'll just, he tries to blow the minds of everybody here. And I know he just, you know, with Balthazar on board, it's, you know, she kind of leans into, Balthazar's the only one that's really ever said anything negative publicly about Chef Gustav's food. So he really wants to blow Balthazar's mind, at least. That's what he kept saying. So anyway, sorry, I digress. He's in his office right this way. And she kind of takes you down the hallway of the ship and kind of like, Chef Gustav, you have one of the patrons wants to pay their compliments for the... Well, let them in! And the door, which you would recognize, magically flies open. Not because of magic, but because Chef Gustav has flown himself over to the door and just thrust the door open. So he kind of flew over. He says, Oh, yes, you are... Oh, but sorry, hold on. He kind of like smells around. You are of the forest? No, you are of the world. You are Smee of the world. Yes, later, come sit in my office. How can I help you?
Smee is going to bow deeply to Chef Gustav and be like, I am just so in awe of your food. I had it the other night. It was incredible. You are such an amazing chef. You know, can I be real with you this 1 second? Like,
absolutely.
I've never had better food in my whole life. Like, you are a god of chefs. You're amazing. And look, I didn't want to say this to embarrass him in front of everybody else, but like that bizarre, like he probably eats fast food and stuff. Like, he wouldn't know class. He wouldn't know flavor if it hit him in the face. Like, you're just amazing. That guy doesn't know anything.
A single tear kind of like goes down his cheek, and he dabs it away with a monocled handkerchief that he had in his pocket. He says, "You're too sweet. That man has said such hurtful things about my cooking. I like to think that you, everyone aboard the ship who has my food, is like my children. And I also think that my food is like my children. And I just want my children to eat my children and love eating my children. Do you know what I mean?"
Yeah, I'm way into cannibalism. That's amazing. Love it.
Oh, yes, you get it. You get it. We are all family, and food is family, so we need to eat.
Yes.
Family.
Yes. Well, yeah, as family, you know, I was wondering, you know, if you could just, if I know you probably get special requests all the time, but I was wondering if you could do this one special request for me. I'm really into magical foods, and I was wondering if you could maybe make like a treat or something that's magical, and when someone consumes it, they just freeze. And they can't move, and they just stay in place. Is that something you could make?
I have heard of such things. There was once a witch who brewed Turkish delight, and if you were to eat of this Turkish delight, eventually you would turn to stone or something like that. So I think it is possible. I could maybe do a frozen... I got it. I can prepare a manta ray of frost. And so if you were to eat this manta ray, you would be able to then maybe cast the ray of frost. And then, you know, like, because it was a manta, and it would, like, freeze other people, or are you looking to freeze the person that's consuming?
Freeze the person who's consuming, like a brain freeze, you know, like, they just can't move. Total brain, like, eating ice cream too fast, just total brain freeze.
Oh, I've spent my whole life trying to avoid the brain freeze. I never sought to use it within the cooking.
He
hits himself on the head. Pourquoi? How could I not see it before? He goes back to the his whiteboard, and his back is not just frozen, but just they are in the moment of the taste, and the taste takes them away from this world. Okay, what can I? Okay, what I could do is I could that would just make them transport them from one location to another. Let me think on this. I might.
Yeah, take your time.
I can. It's me. Truth be told, I can weave most types of magic into my food. Enchantment, divination. I can make tarts that if you were to eat it, you could see into the future a little bit. But I will be real with you. I do have a hard time with the most powerful magic of them all. Do you know what that is?
Love.
No, that is a stupid thing to say. I'm sorry I said that to you, but it is not love. That is not the type of magic. No, it is time. Chronomancy. Yeah. Chronomancy is actually the most powerful type of magic. So to freeze someone, to enhance them with chronomancy, I'm a treat. Edible and sweet would require a lot of my resources. This,
he actually, like, a sparkle comes to his eye.
Oh, and he shakes a finger. I have been searching for something, some inspiration.
for our finish the grand finale feast for last night aboard the ship as we return to Baldur's Gate. I think this is the endeavor that I will pursue. Something that will freeze Balthazar in place. Thaw his mind with flavor so that he can never say another bad thing about my cooking. How could he? He would be lost in the flavor. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, wow. He would just be alive. I will make something so good, objective, not say anything bad.
I love that for you. That's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
He grabs your face. No, I'd be happy for us. Because you have brought my muse. When there was darkness, you have brought the light. And I will take time to control time. Thank you, sweet girl.
And he kisses you on the forehead. And he floats back across the room, back over to his whiteboard. And you can see that he starts putting writes a number 12, and then a number 1, and then a number 2, and then a number 3. And it looks like he's doing it in a circle. And he's just drawing a clock. And then he draws this clock and he looks at it and he says, okay, now what does this mean? Anyway, did you need anything else from him? Otherwise, he seems to be divinely inspired.
Yeah, no, I'm just planting the seeds for later. Good luck, Chef. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you. Just before you go, do you have any suggestion on the type of treat that I should put the time magic
in? I'm a fan of pudding. I like pudding. I feel like that's a good dessert.
The pudding of time. I shall endeavor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck, Chef. And Smee's gonna head back to the group now.
Okay. All right, what's everybody else doing? Because right now the ship is on lockdown until the dinosaur problem is taken care of.
Sincerity's going to get ready to handle the dinosaur problem.
Okay. You get some general information from Robert Thornfield. From their best reconnaissance or information that they can get from the dock or the local, the people that live at the port, the dinosaurs are controlling the island cartel style. There seems to be roving gangs of organized dinosaurs that patrol the area. You are able to get some additional information. You think the heart of the dinosaur operation is an old mansion located near the center of the island. There was an old man, old time, used to own the island, used to try to run dinosaurs. Well, he actually did run dinosaurs, but then that kind of failed. But they had some old infrastructure in the park. But basically, they think that the dinosaurs have headquartered in that area, and you will have to make your way towards the interior of the island.
They spared no expense.
Yes, absolutely. But that was many, many years ago, and that part of the island was left to, left as like kind of like a dinosaur sanctuary. Let them be, let them do them, let them have fun, But the problem was they did get into the drug, and that then gave them, the onus to start pressing into the humanoid / vacation territory. So that's when it really becomes a problem, But yeah.
When it affects the wealthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, the castle lantern, we cut to the castle lanterns just like tanning on top of the...
God, this is awful. This is, quite frankly, the worst vacation we've ever been on, isn't it, honey? I don't know. Why don't you go ask Balthazar? I'll get over it. And then we cut back to you guys.
So in our last session, Gak had sent a number of Percivals on a mission to find Jesus, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to continue with that. And then this time, I'm just going to keep creating splits of Percival in an effort to spread the word of Jesus. I'm going to basically recruit Percivals to help me spread the word of my church.
Okay. You know how to request that.
Percival.
Ah, yes. Young Gak, how can I help you?
Yeah, can you help me read this Bible?
Absolutely. There was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. I'm sorry, I think I've grabbed the wrong book. Let me continue.
Starts in the beginning.
In the beginning, there was a guy who was...
Not a guy, it's a goblin.
A goblin. Sorry, he's like, quite frankly, Master Gak, this book does not contain any letters or legible words that I can read. It is just small, indecipherable little pictures.
Yeah, but you see, look, he looks like me. And I hold up the guy bowl and, you know, the picture of the goblin or the guy and next to me. It's like, it's uncanny, right?
Ah, yes. I can see the resemblance. My apologies. I will remember that this particular symbol refers to goblin instead of guy.
So I'm going to teach when Percival learns one, like learns something in one part of himself, all copies of himself learn about it, right?
When the task is complete, Percival Prime does retain the memories and information that any of the, you know, underling Percys or the temporary Percys obtain. So, yes, you could think of Primary Percival as somewhat of a data bank of information that, you know, is obtained throughout wherever his many Percys are.
So I'm going to spend as much time as is permitted teaching Percival about the Gible and about Jesus and how Jesus died for everyone's skins.
Absolutely so. And we can, I am actually, as per your request, I cannot leave your side until I finish reading this picture book to you in its entirety. So, as I was saying, in
there will be a quiz at the...
Oh, I do hope so, and I look forward to it, sir. May I ask of its rigorousness?
There is a rubric. You need to be able to quote every verbatim at a moment's notice.
Would absolutely, sir. That would bring me pleasure. Is there a syllabus or some sort of spark note that I may review prior to this test?
There are no spark notes for salvation, Percival.
Ah, of course, sir. I shall endeavor to remember that my salvation lasts at the end of a long road of toil, as you have said. Likewise, in the beginning, there was a guy...
It probably will take him a while because he doesn't read goblin to get you through this whole Geigle or Geible. But we'll say that this could have happened while the ship was still sailing, and we'll say,
and then Jesus slept on top of a pile of 40 virgin bodies who were delivered to him thusly. The end. Ah, yes. Seems that we've made it to port. Is there anything else you require of me for this task before I perish, sir?
Yes, actually, we will need to do that quiz, but I think I have to do something else first with some dinosaurs and drugs.
That is some of the other...
So do you mind waiting? Do you mind rereading in your own time as you study in preparation for this, you know, quiz?
A wicked grin crosses his face. He says,
it would be my greatest pleasure to study your book, sir. Thank you for this task.
And he sits down and he just starts reading it again.
I shall be here awaiting your quiz.
Great. I will see you later. Gak has no intentions of seeing him later.
Okay. Percival will, that particular Percival will.
That's what they're called. There's Percival Prime and then there's particular Percivals. That's the nomenclature that we've gone with.
As you're walking away, he runs.
I'm sorry that I forgot that earlier, but I shall continue to be here reading. I do not require sleep, nor food, nor drink, nor even oxygen for my continued survival. I just need to be fulfilling a task.
And you've just walked away, and he's just continuing to talk. anything else from anybody before you getting prepped, getting all your spells together? You are, magic doesn't work on the ship, but you are allowed to step off of the ship to get any spells prepared that you need to prepare. Percival also says,
if I am touching skin-to-skin contact with any of you spellcasters, I can allow you to backdoor to your deity or your source of magic so that you may choose your spells for the day whilst aboard the ship. But just know, as soon as we break skin-to-skin contacts, your soul shall sever your connection to your magical abilities until you have stepped off of the ship. So, who would like skin-to-skin contact?
I, as long as I have the magical ability, like as soon as I get off the ship, this is for spell preparing, right?
Yes, yes, I can help you. We just need to touch tips of our fingers gingerly. Are you touching, or do you want to touch tips?
I don't need to prepare spells, so I,
oh,
I don't.
Okay. Need
to, you've pleased me with your action.
Thank you for that choice of words, sir.
I'm in the All Faith Shrine studying.
Percival's there giving you the same speech.
Says, you can, you know, for the religious factions, you can commune with your deity whilst in the All Faith Shrine, but we may also commit skin to skin contact if you would also like to change your spells that way. You know, the All Faith Shrine is just one room over. That's kind of inconvenient to walk all the way over there when you could just hold my hand.
I'm going to stay in the All Faith Shrine.
If you could.
Because I can't commune outside of it.
That's what I'm saying, sir. If you were to just hold my hand so gingerly, I would allow you to commune with your deity outside of this shrine.
It just doesn't feel right being outside the shrine.
Oh, but in a certain way, it would feel so right, don't you think? Helping you connect to your god. It's kind of intimate, I think.
Can you help me in the shrine?
Absolutely, sir. Would you like to hold hands inside the All Faith Shrine?
No. But you can, like, maybe put just a tip of your finger on me if that'll work. That's
absolutely, sir. If you insist, I shall. Like,
just on the top of my antenna.
Just the tip, sir. I shall gingerly. Yeah.
Tip to tip.
Absolutely. You show me mine, I'll show you. No, wait. I'll show you mine.
Percival might be my favorite character I've ever created.
It is right on the top of your head, sir. Here it is, where you've requested me to touch so gingerly. Now, what spells would you like to offer or change?
Oh, they're just my cleric spells.
Yes, and thank you for allowing me to help you with this, sir. I shall keep concentration so that you can achieve the task of changing your spells.
All right. Anybody else preparing anything before you leave out?
I wanted to see if somebody could, we do the little item switcheroo where somebody puts Find Familiar on the Ring of Spell Soaring, and then I wear it for a little bit, and then cast it, and then give it back, and then I have a familiar. You know, that whole shuffle. Is that possible?
I don't have that spell.
Okay, no worries. Titanius, do you have a Ring of Spell Soaring or no?
What spell?
Do you have Find Familiar or no?
Yeah.
And you have a Ring of Spell Soaring?
No.
Oh, damn. Okay. Never mind. I will work on my steel defender. You know, I'll be like, you know, like when you see a guy with a mullet working on their, like, Thunderbird, I'll be doing that. Got, like, a little, like, wrench. It's my turn.
It's always breaking down.
Will we be getting our weapons back once we get off the ship?
Yes. I shall return your valuables and belongings and weaponry to you upon your disembarkment of the ship. Say, you look like you have some magical abilities that are being suppressed by the anti-magic shield. Do you need skin-to-skin contact in order to change your spells for the day?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Oh, all right. Well, offers always on the tape. I live to serve.
Speed's gonna start chugging.
Is there anything else that I can help with while you all stop preparations for your dinosaur hunt? All right. I can clearly see when I am no longer needed in the conversation, so I shall be leaving. Remember, should you need me, simply say my name thrice aboard the ship and I shall be there for you. But it is my greatest displeasure that as soon as you disembark, I can no longer be summoned by your chanting of my name thrice until you have returned to the ship. I eagerly await all of you to return so that you may speak my name upon your lips thrice again.
And he bows out. He walks out. I don't think Percy realizes that, like, he just kind of keeps talking while the rest of the room has kind of turned on and started doing stuff. All right. Anyway, yeah, what's going on? What are y'all doing?
So they're supposed to be roaming around in gangs, right?
Yeah. The ship security officer, Robert Thornfield, mentioned that they have started to control the island cartel style. So there are roving gangs of dinosaurs that are patrolling the areas and that are, yeah, basically just patrolling the areas around what they believe to be their main stronghold, which is an abandoned old, you know, Jurassic or dinosaur sanctuary that's in the middle of the island. So
it sounds like the middle of the island is our goal.
Yep. And luckily this island is volcano shaped. So, you know, there's like basically a giant layer at the top of the volcano.
I point to the mountain, say, there it is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's where we believe the we're calling the Kingpin Rex. There seems to be one. We have gathered some intel. There seems to be one dinosaur at the top of the food chain, and that is the T-Rex. We believe that he has taken up shelter in the Kingpin. Oh my God! Excuse me. Sorry, I've been day drinking because we can't leave the ship. Yeah, there's a Kingpin Rex, middle of the island. Huge, huge bitch, huge guy. So, good luck. Oh, they've also, like, all these dinosaurs have killed almost the entire local population of humanoids, so do not feel bad about, killing them all. He shows you some pictures of decimated villages.
Ooh.
No survivors. There were no survivors. They came in, they took the weave, and they went out. Left no survivors. Well, anyway, I'll be here by the cabana if you all need any more information about the island. But he looks at all of you. Quite frankly, you are all much stronger than I am. So you probably know more what to do than me.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
Well, cheers. And he holds up like a Mai Tai, something fruity.
Tastes well. I think we should get started, but I should not be the one leading the way.
We can make ourselves look like dinosaurs.
Hey, did we bring the Mini Cooper?
It is parked in the cargo bay.
Yeah, we'll have Insincerity bring the Mini Cooper around, and that can be the we can have gone on that as a boat since it's water, and it can disguise itself as a crocodile.
Not bad. Yep. Percival.
Yes, Security Officer Thornfield, how may I assist you?
Can you please go get their car out of the cargo hold and have it ready for them out on the beach?
Ah, yes, sir. It shall be my greatest pleasure to go tell the other version of this fellow to pull the car around. Thank you.
And he runs off. Sprints off, actually.
I shall get it. I shall tell him.
Okay. A few minutes later, Security Officer Thornfield's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, we'll pull it around. We'll get it ready for you. You all see the Mini Cooper Mini Apparatus of Cooper pull up and get parked on the beach, waiting for you all to get in.
Yeah, get it. Sincerity gets it.
Everybody make a perception check.
I will actually refrain from entering because I have a portable hole on my person. And I know there are several portable holes inside the Mini Cooper causing an incident.
I think we've got like a key system where like as soon as you enter, you stow your portable hole in the designated portable hole locker. And then you get access
and you check it out and you put it in. And then when you leave, you take it out. It's fine. I'm not gonna be a dick.
I think my steel defender moves just as fast as that, and I'll just ride that. That way, okay. I'm like I'm ready for a fight because I'm a cavalier.
All right, yeah, got your own car. All right, everybody loading up in the Mini Coupe.
Mm-hmm. And 22 perception for Smee.
One perception for Smee. Yeah, what did everybody else get on their perception?
22 for Titanius.
22, okay.
I got a 19 on the die, and it is plus 2. Or wait, you said perception? Plus 7. Oh, I also get advantage. But yeah, 26 is what I'm looking at. Beautiful.
26. Basically, anybody over 15 sees this. It's not particularly hard to see. There is a rather scraggly looking man down on the beach in kind of ragged looking leathers that's kind of walking around the your Mini Cooper of Mini Apparatus of Cooper and like kind of like kicking the fake alligator leg and like kind of like looking in its fake mouth and kind of just like looking around. Sincerity's probably like sees him doing this since he pulled the car up, even though they rolled a 5.
Does he get trapped in the mirror?
No, he looked in the front. He's looking in the mouth of the alligator, not the rear. Because I think the rear is where the hatch is.
Yeah. And we had it set up where it was like behind the disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you don't spot the DC for the crocodile, then you're safe from the mirror. But if you do pass that and you realize it's a fake crocodile, then you can like get around to the back access and then get hit by the mirror.
Yeah, no, he's still in the front of the vehicle. It looks like he's examining where the crocodile mouth illusion is. So he'd almost be like looking at Insincerity from the inside, but he just maybe doesn't see him. Hold on. Insincerity sees this guy clearly make eye contact, see through the illusion and make eye contact with Insincerity. And this guy's eyes kind of go wide and he clearly mouths, "What the fuck?" And he like waves at Insincerity. He knocks on the glass through the illusion.
"We don't want any."
What do you want?
"Oh, mate, what the hell are you doing over there? You're so just not the type of right thing you have here."
We don't want any.
Nah, mate, this is alligator territory. You're in a crocodile. You're gonna stick out like a sore thumb. This ain't gonna do it, mate. Those dinosaurs are gonna, that cartel's gonna rip right through you in a second.
Insincerity will look kind of like surprised for a second, and then he'll kind of nod and hit the, we have like a disguise, like the hatted disguise was incorporated, and so I'll change the illusion from crocodile to alligator.
It's better, but it's still not gonna work, mate. It'd be like going into a chicken coop with being tarred and feathered and trying to say that you're a chicken. The chickens aren't gonna buy it, mate. These dinos ain't gonna buy it, mate. They're just gonna rip right into you. Anyway, Dingus McChungle's my name. I'm a local hunter here. I think I could give you a little bit of, a little bit of advantage in searching for these dinos. Also, they killed my entire family, so I'm quite looking for revenge.
A chunky dingus,
you
said.
That's all you had to say.
No, Dingus McChungle is the name.
Juggling Chungus.
No, Dingus McChungle. You can call me Dingy if you want. My mom always called me Dingy because what I was always playing with.
Yeah, well, that's what that is.
Yeah. Do you all come down to talk to
me? Sincerity will join.
Right. Here's some of the rest of your crew. Anyway, I was just telling your driver here that these dinos are gonna. No, Dingus McChungle is my name. So call me Dingy. But
Chunk.
Anyway.
Chunk.
Yes. All right. Well, I've been in charge of making sure the dinos haven't been bothering the rich people for over 50 years now. And, you know, everything's changed since the weave came through. And these are the most aggressive dinos that I've seen. Anyway, as I was saying, they came through recently and killed my family. So, you know, I quite right have a bone to pick with them. And I think I could, be a guide on the island. So, you know, kind of get you the lay of the land. And, you know, if I get to slit the throat of the dino that killed my little girl, then top notch. But anyway, what I was telling you, what color is Insincerity?
Also blue.
What I was telling you, blue friend over here, is that this contraption that you got is going to stick out like a sore thumb. Also, the jungles of this island are crazy thick and dense. Even moving up the streams is going to be very, very difficult. The dinos have also started organizing in a way that's quite frankly astounding. They've placed barricades along the rivers with checkpoints and security cards and clearances, and they've got a whole filing system. It's quite ingenious. So anyway, we can go on foot or with this contraption up the river and try to fake our way through the dinos. That actually sounds quite fun. I'm down for either. You know, I'm down for a jungle trek. I'm also down to, you know, and take this, whatever this thing is, up the river. So, early on you. I just want to kill.
What are we thinking?
Well, you know, I'm thinking we'll probably have different encounters if we went up one way versus the other way. You know, one was probably primarily land-based, and the other one would be more aquatic-based. So, you know, can everybody swim? Everybody good on the swimming lessons? We might want to stick to the land then.
I don't really swim. I really don't swim, but I could fly.
You can fly?
We've got our cavalier, buddy. We should probably stick to the land.
All right. Well, I've got. You can see that Dingus McChungle has like a long barrel rifle, and he's wearing like hunting leathers, and he looks like a very stereotypical safari huntsman.
Lead the way, Dingus.
Which way do we? I can lead either way.
Were you suggesting that we actually leave the? Leave the Mini Cooper, or just
here's what I'm thinking. If we go into the woods or into the jungle on like without aquatic means, we're gonna have to be on foot. The jungle's too intense, it's too thick to bring anything like this contraption through there. Now we can take the waterways because this thing looks big enough to try to break through some barricades, but there are patrolling dinosaurs that have kind of taken control of the river, and they've set up checkpoints for the other dinosaurs to come through. I can lead you all either way. We're just going to have different challenges.
I was muted, but I can functionally fly. And then in addition, I can cast water breathing. I believe it's one of the spells I have available. So, and I believe that's, you can cast it on multiple people. So,
mm-hmm. Water breathing's up to like 10 creatures or something.
Yeah. So if I'd be able to help either way. I would not be a hindrance if we were going to fly. But were you saying that we can't fly or that we just can't take the Cooper?
Well, you can take the Cooper. You just have different challenges. You'd go up the water with the Cooper. You go on foot. If you weren't flying, flying might work. The jungle is very thick, and if you do, well, I mean, if you are, you're probably able to find the mansion. Everybody make a nature check, actually, as you're all kind of formulating this plan. And actually, I will allow, before you roll, nature or arcana.
15.
Okay.
8 for Smee.
9.
Smee. Okay, nothing comes to Smee and Titanius.
An 18 for Sincerity.
Okay.
I got a 15. I don't know if you heard.
15, yeah. Okay. DC was 15, so Sincerity and Thatch. Dinosaurs, at least in the way that the security officer have described and Dingus McChungle has described, they're very, very organized. You feel like if you flew directly to the Kingpin Mansion to fight the main Kingpin T-Rex, he'd probably call for help, and that means all of the dinosaurs would turn and converge on your location, which, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. I'll send wave after wave to you. Or you can take it, kill them along the way, making your way up to the Kingpin Mansion. To you guys.
How are we feeling?
Did they say whether any of the dinosaurs were water-based dinosaurs, or are they all land-based dinosaurs?
Oh, they're absolutely... There's both. The water-based ones have absolutely controlled the river. They've created the barricades. And then there's ones on land that are, like velociraptors and, like, stuff like that.
I feel safer with the Cooper as an extra form of protection, but that's just me.
Okay, let's go up water with the Mini Cooper. I mean, we've also got Pegasus, is right?
Yeah, did we bring those?
Presume we would have got them from the stable when we got the the Mini
Cooper. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay, so let's go up the river checkpoint, and we'll fight our way in, and then we'll take out the mob boss after fighting our way up to him, instead of unless does that sound more fun? We charge all the way up to the end and then try to kill him before all his guys can come at us at once.
Sounds like a plan.
They're all going to die either way. Let's do it.
That sounds like hubris.
Oh, yes. Hubris is my middle name.
All right, guys. I'm just saying, if you attack the final boss, the whole area pulls. But, you know, kind of a challenge. Add some more in there. Listen, Dengus McChungle here. I'm very much happy dying in the line of fighting these dinosaurs as they've taken my entire family. So,
Dengus,
I'm here for it.
Dengus, can you provide any insight onto what kind of security is surrounding this kingpin dinosaur?
Oh yeah, Velociraptors.
How many?
I don't even know how many. They've been allowed. Well, they've sat across the wall, across the electrified fence for 50 years. We've let them breed, let them grow their numbers. They've grown beyond counting. They removed our trackers. They lied on the census that we sent to them. We have no idea what their numbers are.
What about their form of communication? How do, like, if the kingpin were to call in the other dinosaurs, how would he do that?
Or from what we've been able to intel, the dinosaurs have a complicated form of Morse code that they themselves invented and are able to translate and communicate from long distances. They, yeah, that kind of sounds like that.
The real question is, can they open doors?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You would not believe how well they can open doors.
Can they wield weapons with their tiny little arm?
They can now.
Can they open a jar of pickles? I have a hard time, my age.
All right, that's a hard one. If they had one of those rubber mallet or rubber covers, they could probably do it. But otherwise, no.
Those sharp talons. Yes, I've got it from the television. Yes.
All right. Well, we're taking the river.
Sounds like it.
I think so.
The Cooper can go underwater, right?
Oh yeah, that's what it's designed for.
Yeah, I think. I know it can definitely float. I think it can also submerge.
It is shaped like a lobster. I'm absolutely certain that it is made for the water.
1 second, let me get everybody here. Pull everybody out onto this map. All right, you all load up into the mini apparatus of Cooper, and you are all probably just see a dark screen right now. Fog of War, turn that on. Okay, I'm gonna start throwing you all. Theodore. Okay. Loyalty. Oh, wait. Token layer. There we go. Okay. Theodore. Gak. Loyalty. Sincerity. It's me. Titanius. And let me find the apparatus. Cooper. Hold on. Where's my Mini Cooper? I spent so long on that. I don't like this. Can't seem to find the Mini Cooper. Hold on. I think I put it on another.
Dude, where's my car?
Yeah, for real.
And then?
And then?
Don't forget the cookie's fortune.
Luckily, I found the clip art on another page. So, I'm gonna put all you off to the side, but just know you're in the Mini Cooper, even though you're all off on the side. All right. So, okay. All right. Well, Dengus McChungle kind of freaks out a little bit. He's like, all right, didn't realize that this completely submerged. The world looks a little bit different from underwater. So, I can help navigating, but I'm going to need someone else to drive. And what he's saying is he can give someone advantage on survival checks to try to go the correct way underwater. So who would like to make those survival checks?
Yeah, because sincerity.
I don't know who has the highest.
I'm at a +3 for me and my simulac.
I'll cast guidance on whoever's going
to
do it.
I could also give Flash a Genius to whoever's going to do it, which would add a D6. Hang on a second. Let me see. What is it again? So what were we trying to do?
Survival.
No, mine is only 2. But I can Flash a Genius.
Well, I've got a +3, so I mean, if that's the highest, I'll do it.
Can you apply Flash of Genius to other people?
Yeah.
Or just yourself?
I believe it's... I can look it up, but it's any... Yeah, because I remember Tenji used to do money. I'm pretty sure it's money. If anybody's making, I think, a saving throw or a ability check or something like that. It might even include tackles. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at it. But okay, I think it's
a static bonus.
Is it always a static plus five?
I think it adds your intelligence or it's some modifier. Oh, yeah. And I think it's intelligence based.
My bad. I think I was mixing it up with the thing that does 2d6 healer hurt. Let me see. Somewhere here in the front. I will find it. It's right in front of me.
So I've got a 24 with the advantage in guidance. Plus.
Not too bad. 24. Okay, 1 second.
Oh, yeah, add your intelligence modifier. So you just add a 4 to it.
All right, it's a 28.
28. Okay. All right, 1 second. I'm trying to find where. All right. What was that final number again? 28. 28? Interesting. Okay. All right. So you get a lot with that 28. So as it's as you're crawling along the bottom, you check the navigational directional components, and you know you generally knew where the middle of the mountain was and the area that you'd need to be going. So you feel like you're navigating in the right direction. So you get your bearing and you start heading in that way, and then you start kind of looking around, scanning your environment. You see that in the soft mud, kind of all along the stream, there looks like there are large, deep footprints, indicative of a large animal kind of moving up and down this riverbed. And with that high enough number, you realize that this is a patrol area. You also, as you're going, like there seems to be along these patrol areas a large amount of debris or damage off to the side of where you find these footprints, indicative that these creatures are very, very large. But also maybe pointed or have some sort of hard exterior. And it's now you start to, like, and when you first got into the stream, you would see little schools of like fish and minnows and, you know, like smaller aquatic game, kind of near the mouth of the river. But as you started to get deeper and deeper, and as you started to see these footprints, you note a lack of those smaller creatures in the area. And actually kind of just becomes a little bit void of life as you start to see these patrol markings. What would you all like to do?
I think the patrol, the watery patrol might be up ahead. I want to keep our eyes out. Actually, you know, there's all sorts of aquatic creatures. We should could be look on the lookout for weasels. Some otters, some large scale otters. So just keep your eyes peeled.
But how would you all like to proceed?
Every hour on the hour, I will cast Skywrite as a ritual, and I will put inspirational messages in the sky, such as up with hope, down with dope, or crack is whack, or you know, just leave the weave. I just came up with that one.
Oh my god.
Hashtag leave the weave. But yeah, so and then, you know, denial is not a river in Egypt, you know, like all those like little, you know, little inspirational messages. Yep.
Man, if only these dinosaurs could read, yeah, they would be maybe inspired to say nope to dope.
You know, it's not really for them. I just would like to signal to everyone the virtue of my character. Okay.
Yep. You are definitely you're definitely signaling some virtues.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. But you are all in this watery river heading upstream, and you found markings of a large predator patrol nearby. How would you all like to proceed?
I say we move into stealth mode and try to catch the patrol unaware. Sincerity will be on his Pegasus, and he'll use his Ring of Invisibility to turn himself and the Pegasus invisible. And
so you are outside of the...
Yeah. Sincerity will be outside of the Mini Cooper. I think we have space for like six in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sincerity will be outside. He'll be invisible. The Pegasus will be invisible. And he'll activate the cloaking system on the Mini Cooper as well.
Okay. And I believe I set a DC for that. Let me go check out that real quick.
I think it's invisible.
Yeah, let me just double check. I actually don't know if I gave it. I don't think it can turn invisible. So it has a cloak of stealth, which it can activate basically a cloak of elvenkind and gain advantage on dexterity stealth checks and that's, the ability to fly. So you don't turn invisible, but you get advantage on stealth checks.
Yeah, that's what I had.
Okay. Sorry, for some reason I was thinking I had a mini heart attack on my end. I was like, I hope I didn't give them invisibility on that particular item. Okay, stealth mode, but you are going invisible on the back of the Pegasus. Anybody else doing anything in particular?
I'm going to be on my, because I'm a cavalier, I'm going to be on my mount, mm-hmm. Just riding along. I guess my mount can move independently, so it can move up to 80, so I'll be able to keep up, but at the same time, I'm going to use my stuff to, like, I'm going to actively be doing, making perception, so rather than mm-hmm. my passive perception, I would just be like...
Are you swimming with them?
Oh, are we swimming?
Yeah, we all took the okay. water route.
Oh, gotcha. So, I will go ahead. At that point, I would have prepared, because I said I was going to, if we were going to go in the water, I would have prepared mm-hmm. the water breathing. So I will go ahead and cast water breathing. If everybody wants it, I'll cast on everybody, even though we're going to be inside. I believe it lasts like 24 hours. Could be mistaken.
It lasts a while.
It's I'll like take a water breathing. Yeah, can't really swim good.
And so, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. And, I'll go ahead and swim. I'm not wearing, I don't wear armor, and it's athletics. So I think it'll be, something needs me, I'll just cut my way. I'm going to keep my cavalier. I'm going to keep my mount inside of the garage, which is my portable hole. And okay. I'll have that folded up on my person. So then I'm just a small one over there.
Okay.
Yeah, it lasts for 24 hours, and it's up to 10 willing creatures. So I can just cast it on everybody.
Everybody has water breathing.
Nice. Actually, in hindsight, I will have my mount out, and I will just ride my mount. My mount will be walking on the bottom.
But you're not riding them?
I am. I will ride them. Yeah. Sorry. It was just because I just get too many decent bonuses from riding them.
No, all good.
Can the Pegasus get water breathing?
Yeah, up to 10 creatures. So I need it, and then I don't. Neither of my two creatures need it, or my gun. So that would be the party, and then there would be like four spots open.
Are you counting Titanius in the party? Because then that could be like five.
Oh spots. Yeah. So yeah, five spots open. So
I don't need it.
So two for the Pegasus.
If you want to use it on someone else, go for it. Because I don't need it.
Yeah, no worries. What I'm saying is we have more than enough, so whatever you guys want to have water breathing, you can just have it.
How about, we'll just say the DM's not going to try to drown you since Thatch did this. You encounter an anti-magic field underwater. The water starts to fill each of your lungs.
I hold my breath for 15 minutes.
Later, guys!
a very, very strong man runs out from the jungle and holds your head under the water for 15 minutes.
Strong.
Very strong. The strongest man. Yeah. No, not even 50 strength.
32 strength.
He's God comes down from heaven above and holds your head under the water.
Well, I guess if you went through this one, shovel.
Did you say the strongest man?
Yeah, God. God comes down and drowns you all.
Goblin God?
Yes, strongest goblin. Goblin comes down. Anyway, okay, so you're all stealthing in the Cooper. Somebody give me a advantage stealth for Mini Cooper, and let me find what its dex is. Its dex is a 12, so it's a plus 1.
So that would be 18.
18, okay. All right, start moving forward, half speed. Okay. Everybody make perception checks as you are all moving forward.
And then we...
26 for Smee.
24 for Thatch.
24.
Insincerity still has his, Helm of Telepathy.
Okay.
So he can detect creatures' thoughts within a radius. What is it?
Is there a certain intelligence that is immune to that?
Animals. I think it's 3 or less, I think, don't qualify.
But
they're
just not smart. If these dinosaurs have organized crime, they probably register on the Helm of Telepathy.
Yeah, possibly. Okay.
I had a 34, by the way.
Ooh. 34. Yeah.
32, by the way.
That's good enough. Okay. Everybody sees each other. layer, token layer. All right. As you all go move into stealth mode, you hit the brakes and slow down significantly. You all put out your radars. You start scanning the water ahead. You all see these massive, giant aquatic creatures, spinosauruses, in the water. They are about the size of your mini apparatus of Cooper. And they see you because the Cooper is not super stealthy, even though it tries to be. So everybody, let me just kill that initiative tracker, but let's go ahead and, roll initiative. Okay, and I'll roll for the Spinosaurus.
Nat 20. Right. Look at that. So all together, it's just a 23.
Someone got a dirty 20 on their initiative.
We're out of the Mini Cooper. Is that right? We jumped out of the Mini Cooper.
I am.
Some of you are out. Some of you are in. I'm not going to penalize you moving in and out of the Cooper, so it's not. It shouldn't be a big deal either way.
The Cooper's where it's supposed to be. Our tokens are not.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Spinosaur, Smee, Titania, Sincerity, Gax, Thatch. You got a 23, you said?
Yes, but a nat 20 on the die.
Sincerity. Sam, did you want loyalty in this fight, or did you want her to take a cat nap in the back of the Cooper?
She can be in this fight if you want me to run her character. Either way.
That's what I'm asking. It's up to you entirely.
She'll be on her Pegasus. Let me. Okay.
Invisibly as well?
She doesn't have a ring to do it at will, but I will use her once a day ability.
Okay. Both of you invisible. Okay. If you just roll her initiative, I will. We'll go ahead and get this. Good going.
That was using her carrot, so it says insincerity, but that was the roll.
Okay. Spinosaurus. Okay. Alrighty. Descending. Okay. Sincerity, you are up first. Nobody gets surprised. Ooh. Everybody saw each other before the combat started. So, yeah, you're up.
All right. We're here to kill some dinosaurs. Sincerity is going to use Hex on this lead dinosaur.
North or south?
South. I'll say I'm coming in on the south side of the bank.
Okay.
All right, bonus action hex. I'll hex their dexterity.
Okay, hexterity.
Actually, strength.
Strength. Okay, I'll put that little negative sign on them. All right, they've been hexed on their strength on that one.
And then sincerity will come at them with some Eldritch Blast. Give me a second.
Okay, roll to hit.
Oh, 24 to hit with that first.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, sorry, 24 to hit with the first.
Okay, 24 to hit will hit. And I think how much damage?
18 points of force and 4 points of necrotic.
18 and 4. Okay, you shoot your Eldritch Blast at these spinosaurs as they it looks like they're about to start picking up speed and start swimming in attack mode towards all of you, but you're a little bit quicker off the draw. You cast Hex on the first one and you boom shoot your Eldritch Blast at them. You hit, but you can see kind of like Sam swimming upstream, your blast seems to just roll along the outside of its skin. It seems to be resistant to your magical damage.
Okay. Well, I will continue following up with the rest of my Eldritch Blast since that's what I got. I'll do the second one at that same target. Another 20 or 28 to hit.
Yep.
For 18 points of force damage, 6 points of necrotic. And then I assume that one also looks like it didn't deal as much damage as I feel like it should have.
Correct. It seems like that one did about half damage.
Okay. And then sincerity will shoot at the one behind that one. Just to see if they all are taking half damage or if it's just the one that he picked in the front.
Okay.
23
will hit, and it does that same thing. It seems to just glance off the side a little bit. So make me a free nature or arcana check.
10.
Magical dinosaurs, man. It's some fucking fuckery going on.
Sincerity is going to say on the Riri's telepathic bond that, we got magic dinosaurs. It looks like they're resistant to the magic.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
I guess Insincerity goes on my turn.
Oh, what do you want them to do?
He is going to do a mind sliver on that one up front.
That's an intelligence save, right?
Yeah, DC 19 from him.
Not great. They rolled a 14 and they've got negative modifiers.
So that's 8 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
How did that look?
Psychic damage seems to bypass its resistances.
And then that's their turn.
Cool. All right, Thatch, you're up.
Okay, so I say, you there, foul, quadrant beasts of yesteryear, prepare to meet your maker. As I break out my telescoping lance, and then I like charge towards them. My homunculus is gonna pull out my gun out of its holster, which this week it's Johnny Gat, and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm here to throw some bullets into this." And he's gonna go ahead and shoot first, right over my shoulder, and totally misses. It would have been all 11. So, but the homunculus. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it missed. You're good. Okay. Just misses.
And the homunculus will reload it basically so it can shoot next turn. And then I'm charging in, and my steel defender, as soon as it gets within 5, or actually, as soon as I'm 10 feet away from, they probably have reach. I'm doing the math. They're big creatures. I'm a little guy. Everything can always reach me when I can't reach it. I'll just charge in all the way. And my steel defender is going to swing. Does a second thing. Literally just changed the page. 8 plus 10, 18. Does that hit?
Oh, just hit.
Oof. And so that's my duder. He does 1d8 plus 5. 8 force damage.
8 force damage, It seems like it should have done a little bit more damage to it.
And since he actually... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not bludgeoning or... Like, it's an energy type, right? Okay. No worries. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing here. And I'm like, now I'm going to go and, like, do my lance attack.
Mm-hmm.
I totally crossed out. I miss with the first one. The second one, I got a 13 plus... Actually, what did I need to hit? Because I rolled a 3, but I do have some pretty high pluses. I have a plus 16 with my lance.
Jesus. So that would have been a 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit.
Okay. Sorry, it didn't occur to me that... I wasn't trying to be a jerk. So a d12 is a 6 plus 11 is 17 points of damage on the first one.
Question. Is your lance magical?
It is magical. It's
okay.
Magical, yes.
Seems to not do as much damage as you would hope.
Really?
Yeah. You can make a free Arcana or a Nature check. And you said you had 17 points on that first one, right? Damage?
I don't remember. That was like seconds ago. I'm sorry. Like other numbers have come up into my brain.
Oh, but it's seen. I think it was 17.
17. That sounds probably right.
Yeah. Does about half damage.
So I got a 19 on the Arcana, or 19 plus 9, so 20 on the Arcana.
Ooh. So these particular dinosaurs, when they ingested the weave, seem to have gained resistance to all magical damage except for psychic.
Okay. I will go ahead and pull out my gun. Or actually, I'll just grab... Oh, I can't because I don't have it on repeating. Dang it. I'll just keep stabbing it, dude. I mean, whatever. I'm committed. So my next swing is... I believe it was like a... Oh man, because I had already rolled. I believe it was a hit. I rolled the 3, and then I rolled my next attack. It was like a 13 or something plus the 16, so it was like it was definitely a hit. So then I roll my damage on that. 9, 11, 20 points So 10.
Yep, thank you.
And then my third attack is a 11 and a 16, which is 27. Damage is, dang, dude, 13, and then whatever that is cut in half.
Seven.
I will, oh, genius. I tell everybody, do we have our Rory's up? I'm assuming that it's just always up.
Yeah.
Everybody that magic seems to be, it seems to be resistant to magic, in my humble opinion.
Backing up Sincerity's message earlier.
But what if it was not magical? It would work just fine.
I'm assuming. I'm going to go ahead and end my turn. I'm not going to waste my action surge on this.
Okay. Titanius, you're up.
Well, it seems like I guess I'll jump out of the Cooper, and I will cast, I'll cast a Mind Sliver at him.
That's an intelligence save, yeah?
Yep.
What's your DC?
17.
Oh, it's going to be close. Okay, so their intelligence is 6, so that's a minus 2. And they rolled a 19 on the dice, so they just saved.
Mm.
Is that all or nothing?
It's just one of them.
Just one. But they don't take half damage if they pass, right? It's all or nothing.
Right.
Okay. All right, yep, that one passed.
And I will... Well, can I hide?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I'm gonna hide.
Bonus action hide.
Wow, really low. 21.
Okay. There's 4 of them. I'll just go ahead and I'll do that now. Just see if they can see you. Their percent is +7. Looks like 2 of them are aware of your presence, but 2 are not. But you're hit. You didn't really hit on them, so you're not too much of a threat. Anything else on your turn?
No, and I didn't hit anything, so yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't view you as a threat. Okay, cool. It is the Spinosaurus's turn. They are incredibly fast in the water. These two are gonna just swim right on up to the Mini Cooper. So is this third one. Titanius, this third one looks like it's coming right for you, but it's actually going towards Cooper. They're all going to attack Coop. But the first one is actually going to attack Thatch. Okay, Thatch. First one's going to attack you with a bite.
Disadvantage. My sealed defender is using its reaction to give hostile attacking within 5 feet of me disadvantage.
Okay. It rolled a nat 1 on that. So excellent. Let me just roll a d4. Got to stick to my own nat 1 rules. So we'll see. It rolled a 2. It does not hurt itself in its confusion. That's one attack. It's going to come in for its second attack. I'm going to swing with the tail. Does a 17 hit you?
It did not. It bounces off of my shields.
Well, that's really frustrating. It thrashes about with its third attack in its rage. Does a 25 hit you?
Shield. No, it doesn't.
It looks at you so frustrated because it felt like it should have hit you, but you used magic to stop it, and it doesn't like magic. It's actually very resistant to magic. Okay, so that's a big old bust from that turn. Okay, these three are going to attack the Mini Cooper. The Mini Cooper has an armor class of 11. I will say that it would have been at full health since this is a new adventure, so I'll top it off back to 200. These three are just going to attack them, or attack the coop. So we're going to go first attack. I'll just roll each of these. Mini Cooper is 11 AC. Ooh, nat 20, a 19, and an 11. So all three of those will hit. Need some D10s. So three hits. All right, so first hit. Gonna do 7, 13, 21 for the non-crit. 27 for the non-crit. That is 4, 7, 10,
16, so 27 and 16 is... God, I haven't done math so long. 45? No, 43? 43. That sounds right. 43. And then here comes the crit. Oh, three ones on D10s in here. That's pretty low. So 3, 6, 10, 14, 13, or no, 14. Oh my God, sorry. I fucked that one up. Okay, 3, 6, 10, 19, 23, 33 plus 6, 39 points of damage on top of, what did I say before, 43? 82 points of damage. Do that first one, although hold on, let me check. It has immunities. Well, these are all magical attacks, so nope, it's getting chopped the fuck up. They're gonna come in with their second rounds of chopping. 3, 4, okay, 2 miss, 1 hit. And that is going to be a different set of dice. Those are D6 or D8. So D8. 8, 11, 13 plus 6, 19 on that one as the tails start thrashing about. And then the last set of tail attacks. Wow, they rolled really bad. Two twos, two natty twos on that. And then a 13, so that's 5, 4, 9, 11 plus 6, 17 more points of damage. The Mini Cooper of apparatus, or Mini Apparatus of Cooper, is not looking good. Insincerity probably comes out, calls out, "She's taking severe damage, Captain. I don't know how much more she can sustain." I don't know why you got
what
an
was
Irish.
That? What was the damage on the last attack?
17.
All right, so that's a total of 99 out of the 200.
That sounds right. I was subtracting things off of the Mini Cooper. Were you as well?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I wasn't doing... I have a tree on the security... or insincerity's character sheet. I've got it on there where I was tracking hit point.
Nice. So I got it... On my end, I have it down to 82, which is 99 minus that last 17 from the last round of hits, which I think would get it there.
Thought it was 82 and then 17. Did I?
No. I think it would have been. I'm counting, at least on my side, and I think I did it right. I think it's currently at 82 hit points out of 200.
Oh.
So a little less than half. Okay. That is all of their turns, though. Gak, your turn. Gak, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. My thing cut off.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. Your turn.
So we're still all in the Cooper.
In one way. Some people are out. Some people are in. Some people are screaming. Some people are peeing their pants.
I'm going to get out of the Cooper in the water and rage. Enter a rage.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to attack the first coked out dinosaurs.
All right. Luckily, there is a lot of them in this area. So, yeah, go ahead and swing away.
We're fully healed, right, from before.
Yeah, this is an encounter that you all come in with full resources.
Okay. I am going to swing my halberd. I'm going to do reckless swing.
Okay. Roll with advantage.
Ooh, does 13 hit?
13 does not hit.
Okay, second attack, 21.
That will hit.
So we'll do 34 points of damage. If it's not reduced, it is a magic weapon.
It is reduced. Unfortunately, you swing and you hit hard, but you feel like these creatures have a little just resistant to magic damage, and you feel your blade not cut as deep as it should.
All right, that's my action and my turn.
Okay. Loyalty is up next, followed by Smee.
Okay. Loyalty. Ah, nice. Loyalty is going to go down in front of these dinosaurs here. I guess we'll start with this one. And she is going to just maul them with her claws.
Okay.
Which I believe...
Non-magical.
Non-magical claws, yeah. Just monster versus monster here.
Yeah, all right, roll the hit.
And so I think we're going to go with a maul and a bite.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Let me see. She has started doing an extra 1d8 radiant damage with her attack. And I don't think I factored that into her maul's moves. Okay, so a maul, natural 20.
Nice.
She's gonna smite. on the
nice.
She's gonna burn.
Roll the bones. I think that's 4d8 on the crit.
An additional 4d8 from the crit. So 19.
Damn. Okay. And all right. So the bludgeoning 15 plus 12, 27. What is that? 3 plus 2.
All right. That is the radiant damage that she deals. So it's 5 plus. It's a total of 24 radiant damage plus the 27 bludgeoning damage.
Okay. 24 plus 27 is 51.
It'd be half damage for the radiant, wouldn't it?
So god damage is not half.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, so minus 51. She did mundane maul damage and then radiant damage, which is not under the magical damage. It seems it's more of the arcane types of damage that it's resistant to rather than religious damage.
Okay.
And then I guess that's also why psychic bypasses it as well. It's not typically an arcane function. All right, anything else on Lord's
Return? That was just her maul. She's going to go in for her bite now.
Nice.
28 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And I don't know if these things need to make a roll against lycanthropy.
No, they are not a humanoid. Okay, so that would be 17 points. Jesus. Okay. Loyalty takes a large chunk out of this particular Spinosaur.
Okay, and that is loyalty.
Next is Smee.
Question for the DM before Smee makes any moves. Smee is not the one driving the Cooper, but since she's inside the Cooper, would she be able to use her movement to move the Cooper?
Say since the Cooper hasn't moved, I would allow that to happen. However, if you do move the Cooper, these three of these things are going to get attacks of opportunity on it.
Right, yeah. Okay, I know. Smee is going to hang outside the window of the Cooper, still in the Cooper, and she's going to cast Mind Spike at the one that Loyalty was attacking.
Nice. Okay. It fails, and you attack its mind.
Sweet.
For 11 points of psychic damage, as you bypass all of its other magical resistance, cutting its brain directly.
Nice. How damaged does it look? Does it look like it's still functional or like it can still do damage to other people?
Yeah, it still looks very functional. It looks like it may be on the verge of bleeding.
Okay, so Smee's gonna take her second action to cast the same spell at the same dinosaur.
Mind Spike is a cantrip, yeah?
No, it's a level 2 spell.
Okay, you would have to use your action surge to do this.
Okay, she's going to use her action surge.
Okay. It fails. Rolled a 17 minus 2, 6, 15. Takes 10 points of psychic damage as you continue to burrow that psychic spike or that mind spike deeper into its squishy little brain. Not bleeding yet, but very close.
Okay, so I don't know if Smee should move the Cooper to the shore, because if she's got movement of 30, so she wouldn't make it all the way to the shore. She would make it like right to the shallow end.
Mm-hmm.
Do these things look like they could pursue it into the shallow end? Would they be able to get that far?
Possibly. You do see one in the... I mean, these look like these are aquatic based, but they can come out of the water. I would say make an insight check really quick.
Okay. So eight.
You've really never fought. These are magical, coked up dinosaurs. It's really hard to tell what they can and can't do or what they would and wouldn't want to do. With that 8 insight, they sure are interested in loyalty now that she's did all that damage to one of them. Other than that, you don't really get any resounding answers to your questions.
Okay, then, yeah, I think Smee's going to leave the Cooper where it is then, if it looks like they might not attack it. If she goes out the back end of the Cooper, would she trigger an attack of opportunity from them?
No, you'd be okay.
Okay, then that's what Smee is going to do, and she's going to grab her Pegasus Cotton Candy, who has been walking along in the back with her, and she's going to move down here with the others.
Okay. Anything else on your turn?
That's it for now.
All right, Sincerity, you are up.
All right, Sincerity is going to... he's going to use his bonus action to give bardic inspiration to his assistant.
Okay, what's that look like?
He is going to start playing Land Down Under because it just feels right with all these, you know, crocodiles and other reptiles fighting. It just feels right. And then with his action, he is going to cast Mind Sliver, the cantrip.
Okay.
That was actually sincere.
Okay, is it the same DC?
Yeah, that I had the right character sheet, just the wrong first book.
Gotcha, all good. They rolled a nat 20 on their resistance, but it's still a minus 2, so they still fail. So they take 15 psychic. And that was the one that Loyalty was attacking?
Yeah, I'll switch and work with her on that.
Okay.
And then Insincerity will do the same thing.
Okay.
Except his DC is a little low.
Failed. 13 points of psychic damage. As you all are just decided, don't shoot it from the outside. Poke its brain from the inside. And you're slivering it. You're spiking it. You're prodding it. You're poking it. This dinosaur starts to bleed out of its ears and nose. So it is bleeding now.
Solid. And that's their act.
Okay. Thatchery, you're up.
So, I'm going to... So, I have a question. There's a thing that if I cast Mend on my Sealed Defender, my Sealed Defender heals 2d6 points. Would that be a pretty, like, kind of standard litmus if I were to apply it to the apparatus Aqualish?
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
Because there's no other measurement of that. It just seems pretty legit, you know what I mean?
Yep. I don't want to be a buzzkill, but doesn't it take, like, a minute to cast Mend?
Does it? Oh, I don't know.
I think that's the limit. Because we've been patching up the Mini Cooper with mending in between fights, but like we gotta be in between fights because it takes so damn long.
Yeah, don't worry.
It does take a minute.
It does. Okay. Yeah. Okay. In that case, my Steel Defender itself will use its repair ability rather than make an attack. It uses its magical mechanisms inside of itself to restore 2d8 plus proficiency bonus hit points to one, to itself, or one other construct or object within 5 feet of it. So it's going to go ahead. I'm going to roll 2d8.
Your little Steel Defender pulls out a USB-C to USB-C connector.
Ooh, nice. 13 plus 5, 18 points back.
Nice.
I guess I will... I feel so useless right now. I'm going to... I guess I'm just going to... can I cast heat metal just on the outside of the apparatus? Is that a thing? And also, if I cast...
Man, I would allow that. I like that.
So, like, it'll damage them if they bite it, but it doesn't hurt the apparatus because it's made of metal?
Yeah.
I do. That's an inspired use of heat metal. I like it.
Okay. I just start... And I cast heat metal. And then I'm going to action surge and cast enlarge on the apparatus of Qualish.
Okay.
I don't know. Is it the right thing to do? I don't know. Should I do that? I'm just going all in. Yeah. I'm going all in. That's what I will do.
Okay.
So I don't know if it makes a text, but if it does, it would get additional, but it's also just double the size or 50% bigger or something.
Yeah. The apparatus groans and creaks under the magical pressure as it expands and
it's just
enlarges.
Stretch apparatusing.
Yes. God. Take an inspiration for that one. That's a good.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll just say, as it starts to grow and big, it heats itself in that process. And gets the heat metal condition. So I'll say for the tail attacks, they will still encounter the resistance, but for the bite, these creatures will take the full damage because they're putting their soft, fleshy mouth on the hot, burning part rather than their exterior hard skin. So
excellent, nice.
Inspired use of heat metal. That was great.
Thank you. I am done with my turn.
Okay. Titanius, you are up.
Can I use a cone of cold just to freeze the water without targeting a creature? It mentions creatures in there, but can I just use it to, like, freeze the water?
One second.
It only mentions creatures, so I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, I would allow it, but I think you're going to get more of, like, ice cubes in a water rather than, like, a full slope frozen section
block
of it. Yeah.
All right. That's fine. I have another plan too.
Go for it, man.
I am going to cast as a bonus action Spirit Shroud in radiant form. And with my newly acquired feat, I can cast up to a third level spell in the same round with Spell Driver. So I'm going to follow that up with a third level Guiding Bolt.
Interesting.
And if I'm, do I have to roll at disadvantage?
Why would you roll at disadvantage?
Because I'm right next to him.
Oh, and it's a Guiding Bolt. Yes, you would. Sorry. Thank you for being honest. Hey, yes.
I'll take that away.
Okay, cool. With your change fate or whatever. Battle. Yeah.
Yep. So 29 points, or 29 to hit.
Will hit. Yeah. All your damage. And you're doing the same one Loyalty was attacking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, roll them
22
bones.
Points of radiant damage.
Nice. Your trickster god comes down and lays a hammer of spite down. Well, a guiding bolt, I guess. A bolt of guiding on down.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't count that 8 damage from the... Well, actually, you do any attack you deal deals 1 extra d8 when you hit a creature within... Okay, so that would count. So that would be the extra...
I didn't... I didn't attack anything. Just sent the guiding bolt. So.
Well, no, that's a to hit thing. So I think it's an attack to hit. Like, it's not a save.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It says any attack you make. Yeah. Okay, so it's actually going to deal an extra because I cast it at 5th level. So it's going to be 2d8.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, roll another d8 then.
Oh, did it roll 1?
Yeah, I think it did. Well, let me look.
I just rolled 2.
It did roll 2. So yeah, it would just be that 8. That's my bad.
Okay, disregard the 10 extra.
Cool. It's bleeding heavily now. Anything else on your turn?
No.
Okay. These are angry little dinosaurs. I'll get the ones on Thatch. Go for the first one. Oh my god. 14 won't hit. 29 will probably hit on the second one. That's a tail. And then a 26 will hit on that tail. So it's gonna be 3d8 6. So first attack.
You're attacking Thatch?
Yes.
So I'll go ahead and cast shield for that, like the whenever you said the 26. Because actually, hang on, let me do the math. Yeah, that's plus 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I will not cast shield.
Okay, so you'll get 2 hits then. All right, so that one is 16 points on the first tail attack. And then the second tail attack is 22 points of bludgeoning as you get smacked around, but you don't get bit. Now, this one's going to attack Loyalty for doing all that god damage. Does a 26 hit Loyalty?
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to be 15, 24, 30 points of piercing damage on the bite, and that is magical.
I was going to add. Said 30.
Yep, 30, and then 27 to hit on the tail.
Yeah, that hit.
Okay. So 27. 27. What's her AC?
Let's see. Loyalty's AC is 22.
Okay, still pretty good. Okay, that one's going to be 10, 16, 22 points of bludgeoning damage. And then third and final tail is going to miss with 15. Okay. Titanius's turn. Its friend noticed you doing a lot of radiant damage as well, so it's going to try to hit you, which I think... No, it just has its speed reduced by 10. Okay, so first to hit. 16 doesn't hit Titanius. 28 will hit though, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's for the first tail, and a nat 20 on that second tail attack. So let's just first one, 3d8 plus 6, that is 5, 6, 7 above average, so that is 12, 18 plus 6, 24 points of bludgeoning damage. And then let me do the crit. 9, 13, 19, 21, 24 plus 6, 30 points of bludgeoning damage for the tail attack to Titanius. And then this third one is going to keep attacking the car. It doesn't like this big thing. A 2 on the dice. It misses the car, an 18, and then a 13. Both of those will hit the car. Both of those were tail attacks. So let me roll my d8.
I wasn't able to hear you. My Headphones died.
Titanius, you took... Oh, shit, that was so long ago. 30 points for the crit, for sure. And then I think it was 24 points for the other tail. So a total of 54 points.
Okay.
Then the one attacking the car hit it twice. I rolled the damage for the first one. So that's 11 plus 6, 17. Plus... 17 plus 24 is 41 points of damage to the car. You're starting to get warnings about hull failure, structural integrity. Some leaks start to appear in the mini apparatus of Cooper.
So 41.
Yeah, 41. It's at 39 out of 200 right now. Gak, you are up.
So all three of these are still alive?
Yes, and then there's one that's fighting Thatch on its own.
Okay, I'm gonna hit the same one that I went for last turn.
I believe that was the middle boy.
Yeah. Ooh, is a 14 hit?
14 does not hit.
Attack again. That should hit. 25.
25 will hit.
Does 26 points of damage reduced?
Okay.
And that will have to complete my turn.
Alrighty.
Real quick, Neil. Sorry, I just wanted to interject. So I didn't picture where I was on the map. Mm-hmm. So I would have provoked an attack of opportunity moving back to the apparatus, because that's what I was trying to do that healing and whatever that I did. I would have had to have traveled back, so he would get a free attack, and then he would be able to move up also.
Okay. Thank you. I will roll for the attack. Nat 1, for your honesty, have been rewarded by the dice gods.
To be fair, I let a little fart bubble behind me as I noped out.
Okay. That one does pursue you as you run away, though. So it would have just followed you and then done its attacks, you, which is what it did. So, okay. Gak, into your turn. Okay, Loyalty, then Smee.
All right, Loyalty's doing more of the same. Oh, she is going to use her bonus action to cast Hunter's.
Nice, okay. The little skull and crossbones.
Yeah. All right, and then we're just going to do multiple mauls.
Okay.
27 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit. Total of 20 points of damage.
21 plus for the Hunter's.
Yep, okay.
21 to hit.
That will hit. Minus 15, minus 7. Okay. Anything else?
That's her turn.
Alrighty, Smee, you are up.
Which of these looks like it's the closest to dying?
The one, Malcolm in the middle. The not the youngest, but the next born.
The 1 second from the south?
Yeah.
From the bottom? Okay. And that's the one that's bleeding out of eyes and ears and everything?
Yep, everywhere. It's bleeding heavily.
All right, Smee is going to try one more time what she knows works, which is Mind Spike.
Okay, that's a save. They fail. Roll your damage.
19.
Nice. Okay. This one, you push the mind spike deep into its brain, and you can it audibly says, "Coach said it's all right to bleed from the ears." As it actually starts just like grumbling, and it actually starts walking in a circle. It is dead. But it is like when you cut a head off a chicken or a snake, it's like it's still twitching and moving around. And yeah, I think that is where we are going to pick up or end off for tonight, and we'll pick it up next time with the continuation of the Spinosaurus fight on herding dragons.
We got this, guys. We can't possibly die.
GG.
Yeah, good lore, game.
Lore armor.
GG. Yeah, well, you know, also, like, for those of you who collect animal pelts, I'm sure you could make some pretty sick anti-magic, you know, armor out of this stuff. But, we'll pick it up not next week, but the week after.
Hey, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, good session. Y'all have a good rest of your week.
All right.
Okay, GG. Thank you. Cheers.